Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, 6th chapter. We're going to read from verse 10 through verse 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for that sword of the Spirit, the precious Word of God. And once again tonight, Lord, we join with our people in thanksgiving and praise for all that you've done for us and how good you've been to us. And Father, for the answered prayers and for those which we are asking, and we know you've heard and we know you'll do according to your perfect will. Now, Father, tonight this preacher needs you. He needs your power, needs your wisdom. Now, I just ask you, Lord, to help us as we preach that your will would be done. We pray this in the lovely, most sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I was going to mention also that message on Sunday school on Sunday morning. There was good things happened to them. There, some of them hadn't been back since then. So I don't know. But anyway, if you was in Sunday school, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Ephesians, the 6th chapter. You know, as we read down through those verses of Scripture, 10 through 17, as, of course, all the book of Ephesians is written to Christians, I want to remind us, this message is for God's people only. When you read that, what God is saying in those verses of Scripture is for His people. That's very, very important. You see, the world absolutely does not understand what even God is trying to say to us. They don't understand that. God's people understand it. It's for us. It's for our hope and our encouragement. And that's what God is saying to us. He's telling us, yes, you've got a wicked enemy. You've got an enemy out there that is strong and powerful, but I'm greater than he. I'm greater than all. And here's some things that I want you to do, prepared to stand against that enemy you have. And so as I read those verses of Scripture, I don't read them in such a way as I become discouraged with them. I read them and say, thank God we have such a wonderful God who loves us so much, you see. Now, we're being attacked from all sides. Whether we completely understand that or not, we are being attacked from all sides. It's coming from everywhere. God said we was going to be wrestling, you see, with these principalities and powers of darkness. We're going to be wrestling with them. They're right here before us. They're around us. And they're attacking us from constantly. And so I guess it's one of the reasons I want to remind you that this is a battle. The Christian life is a battle. It's not a life of ease. It never has been. It was never intended to be. The Christian life is a battle. From the time you get up of a morning to the time you go to bed of a night, you are in a battle. You are in a warfare. Some days are more intense, but you are in a battle every day of your life. The Christian life will never be a life of ease. It was never intended to be a life of ease. So you see, in the messages before this, we covered quite a few areas. I feel like it was one of those things that you could just continue to go on and on concerning the wiles of the devil. It was not something I think you could come to an end of them and say, well, we've covered all of them. But we did try to cover enough of them that would try to expose some of the main wiles of the devil that he uses against his people. And so it's good for us to understand that. He does everything he can to try to trap us, to ensnare us with those wiles. And so he wanted us to know about that, you see. But let me say something to you. It's not just enough to be aware of the wiles of the devil. Now, we must be aware of them. That's why he told us about them. But it's not enough just to be aware of them. That is only half of the story. There's the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey says. And this is only half of it. To be aware of them, we'd be foolish not to be aware of them, because that way we know to look for them, be aware of them. So we're not to dwell on the wiles of the devil, but we are to dwell upon the power of God that will allow us to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to be intelligent. We need to understand that those wiles are there. We need to know what they are. Be very wise for every one of us to know some of the wiles of the devil and try to search them out and look for them in our life. That's why he tells us in verse number 10 that we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need God's power. Now, we're going to look at this at two sides tonight, but we need God's power. I'm going to very soon be starting on the armor of God. The armor of God. What an important messages these will be on the armor of God. But tonight we want to lay some groundwork and help us to understand you and I need to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Now, and then, of course, put on the whole armor of God. Why do we need to do this? Well, verse 12 is why we need to do it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord. That's why we need to be mighty in the power of his might. And then we also need to put on the whole armor of God. There's two things there that he tells us. He tells us in verse 10, we're to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. But he also adds something to it in verse number 11. He says, and you and I need the armor of God. We need that. Now, we'll be dealing with the armor of God, like I say, in the very, very near future. But we need this because of verse number 12, who we are fighting against. Who are we wrestling against? Folks, this is not one another. This is the power of Satan. This is spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to understand there's a battle out there. And you're in a fight. You're in a warfare. And you're fighting against old Satan and his powers. And you need the power of God. You need to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Amen? So we need that. We know why? Because especially in verse number 13, he talks about the evil day. He said, be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, folks, I don't know. I don't think I would, if you would take time to think about it, I don't think I would have to stress much about the fact that we are living in evil days. It is all around us. I mean all around us. It is everywhere. It's coming at us from every side. And it's in high places. It's everywhere. It's on down through in the low places. It's everywhere you look. We are living in a wicked, evil day. Some of you younger ones do have never seen basically anything else. You might have seen it progress, get a little worse. Some of us has got some age on us. We can remember back when the days were not as evil as they are now. Now, that did not mean that evilness was not there. But the manifestation of that evil was not allowed to manifest itself as much as it is today. And the reason is because of ungodliness. Ungodliness brings unrighteousness. And there's an ungodliness in our nation. People are turning from God. I don't care what they say. I don't care how many people say they're going to church. They're turning away from God. And because of that, we have unrighteousness in our nation. It is there. And so we live in very, very evil, wicked days. Now, I want to ask first of all the question. Why is it so important that you be strong in the Lord? If you were sitting there and I'd say to you, why is it so important for you to be strong in the Lord? The answer that I would give to you is this. Simply because of who you are. You are a Christian. You are God's child. And it is very, very important that you be strong in the Lord. You know, in past down through the history of America, there has been multitudes of people who have given their lives and offered their lives for their country. They have did that. Why? To keep America free. To protect this nation. They offered their lives, and many of them gave their lives. Now, I just want to share a little bit something with you about that. Why did they do that? Because they were Americans. And they loved America. And they wanted to protect America. And they laid their life on the line to do that because they were Americans. And they loved America. You see, in war, let's talk about it a minute, in a soldier's life, a soldier had the responsibility to be in shape, to be trained to do battle. He had to physically be in shape. He had to physically know how to use his weapon. I haven't asked any of them, but if I would go to some of these that was in the services and handled weapons, I would say to them, and I'm sure I feel comfortable, they're going to say, yes, you knew how to take that weapon apart. You knew how to clean it. You knew how to take care of it. You knew you was expert in how to handle it. You was taught how to aim it. You was taught how to shoot it. You was taught to hit the target because you was a soldier. And it was up to you, through those who were over you, to train you. It is up to you to be trained to be a good soldier. Amen? Well, let me say something to you. The difference is no different for the Christian. We are in an army. We are soldiers. And it is up to us to be in shape, to do the work of God. It's up to us to know our weapon, the Bible, the Word of God. We ought to be able to tear it apart and look at it and put it back together and understand it and know what it says. Why? Because we're a soldier. We have no right not to do that. It's up to us to protect the Christian name, the Christian faith. It's up to us to contend for the faith. Amen? Every single one of us. Now let me say to you, if we was in the army and we behaved ourselves and learnt and trained like we do as a Christian, the army would kick us out in a moment. They would not put up with us. For we were not trained and ready and prepared to fight the battle that was supposed to be fought. But yet we as Christians seem to just simply don't understand that we just let those things go and it doesn't matter and we can just do whatever we want. And so what, we don't know our Bibles, so why we don't read them, so what, we don't pray, so what, we don't witness, and so what, we don't do the things we ought to do, and so what? Because you're a Christian. That's enough. Your responsibility, you see, we have no right. None of us have no right to be weak in the faith. None of us have any right to do that. Listen, they didn't put somebody to come into the army and join the army and be there 1 week and didn't put him on the front line. It takes time, yes, to learn and to grow, but they prepared him. They got him ready. And we need to be preparing and getting ready to get on the front line. We who've been Christians for many years ought to be on the front lines with our weapons ready. Amen. Ready and prepared, knowing how to handle them, knowing what to do with them, and standing in the faith, you see. So it's not right for us to not get involved and be a part of the Christian faith, you see, because our family, which is in heaven and in earth, is at stake. The Christian faith is at stake. We're the ones that are doing the battling. We're the fighters, you see. Are we going to be defeated by the enemy? See what I'm saying? So you see, God is telling us, you see, because of who we are, we ought to be strong in the faith, strong in the Lord and the power of His might, with the armor of God on. Why? Because of who we are. We're God's children, you see. I think it's time that we quit being selfish and we remember the work of God is at stake. You know what? The work of God is much more important than your dislikes and my dislikes or your likes or my likes. The work of God is much more important than that. See? And we understand that the work of God is at stake. That's what's on the line. God's work is on the line, you see. So we need an army that's willing to stand against the enticements of evil. When evil entices us, we need an army that's been trained and ready that says no to those enticements of evil. We need an army that's not out here running after the things of the world and after the enticements of the world and the cares of this world and those things that are popular to this world. We need an army that stands against those things, not for them. But much in America, we've got an army out there that has no desire to do anything for God, but has a desire to go after the things of the world and those things that are popular in the world and all the fancy fads of this world more than the things of God. That's why we're not soldiers like we ought to be. We need an army who stands steadfast for the truth of God. You see, what we need, this world needs to see an army of Christians that are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then there'd be some fear in them. But there's no fear of this world for most Christians. Most of we Christians puts no fear whatsoever in the hearts of the devil's children. But we need an army that stands fast, who's strong in the Lord and the power of His might, has on the armor of God, going forward, not standing still or not going backwards, but going forward and attacking the devil's crowd and the devil's domain. That's what's needed. And that's why God was telling us here, because of who we are, we ought to live for God. Just who we are, that ought to make the difference. That's why we ought to do it. We oughtn't have to have any other reason except who we are. Not only that, there's something else that we must understand as we look at this portion of Scripture and we look at this needing to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. First of all, we must understand this. We must understand our own weakness. And we must understand the power of our enemy. It's very, very important you understand just a little bit. We've tried to go over that. We've tried to look at those things in the past week and help us to understand that we have a powerful enemy. I want to give you a little bit of something from the book of Genesis. It's very simple. You already know it. I'd just like to share it with you. Adam and Eve, was they perfect people? Well, they were before the fall. They wasn't after the fall. But before, was they perfect? God made them perfect. Amen. Adam and Eve were perfect. Now, after the fall, they certainly was not. But let me say to you, did they walk? And if you'll notice in this verse of the book, did Adam and Eve walk in strict, perfect communion with their God, walk day by day with their God in communion? Now let me ask you a question. Did they fall? Here was perfect human beings walking in perfect communion with God, and they fell. Old Testament saints, if you'll go back through the Old Testament, you'll find the same thing much as you find in the New Testament. You'll find failures. You'll find the Old Testament saints who failed God. You'll find the old prophets of God and godly kings, even those who did right in the eyes of God, you'll find them that they failed God when it come right down to it many times. You go into the New Testament, you find the same thing. His disciples and many of the other workers, they failed God. They did not hold up to the standard they ought to have held up to. Why? Because they have an enemy out there, and that enemy is powerful. And let me ask you a question. Are we any different than Adam and Eve? We're not even perfect. They fell. Will we fall? Sure we will. We cannot in our own power stand against this powerful enemy of Satan. Not in our own power. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. It's an impossibility. You see, that's what was the matter with the Pharisees. That's one of those problems today. We think we cannot fall. We cannot be taken down by Satan. But that was one of the problems with the Pharisees. You see, they did not think they needed a physician because they thought they was whole. What we've got to understand is, folks, our weakness. We are weak. If you're not willing to admit that you are weak, you'll never be able to go to the Lord and seek His help and His strength because you don't think you need it. We need to know. We need to understand we are weak people, and we have a strong army of Satan's army out there that stands against us. There's that song that says, "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own." Folks, let me tell you, that old arm of flesh will fail you. And it'll fail me, and it'll fail you, you see. The Christian life, it is an impossibility for the Christian life to be lived in the power of the flesh. It's an impossibility. The arm of flesh will fail you. You see, it's an impossibility. But now we understand that the enemy is strong, that we are weak. But thank God our God is strong. That's why He says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." That's why he's saying that to us. Yes, the enemy is strong, you're weak, but the Lord is all-powerful, almighty, you see. You know what we need to do? We need to, instead of thinking about Satan and worrying about his strength, we need to remember God's strength. When you read through the Bible, when you go to the Gospels, and that's a wonderful thing to do, is go to the Gospels and read through the Gospels, follow the life of Jesus Christ, and watch him in all of his strength and power. Read about him. Study him. And as you see him face certain situations in life, you see the power of God, all-powerful God. You see him not falling. That's the one who stands for us. We need to meditate upon him and his wonderful strength and his power. When you see him perform miracles, look at him and say, that's my almighty, powerful God that's doing that. When you see him cast out devils, and the devils in the scripture, when you see them, they're begging him not to cast them into the deep. They're coming begging him not to do this or that. Why? He's all powerful. They knew he could do whatever he wished to do, you see. And then, of course, you see his power of his death and his burial and his resurrection. Resurrection power. I mean, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. Resurrection power. Let me show you over in the book of Colossians just for a moment there. Colossians, the second chapter. Verse number 14 and 15. I want you to just listen to these wonderful verses of Scripture. Verse 14, chapter 2, he says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now listen. And having spoiled principalities and powers. What have we been studying about? Who do we fight against? Principalities and powers. Jesus Christ spoiled them. And he made a show of them openly and triumphing over them in it. He was triumphant over them. See what I'm saying? What kind of a Savior do you have? What kind of a God do you have? One who was triumphant on all of those who stand against us and fight against us. He was all powerful, you see. We need to, as we read the Word of God, we need to understand that that's who we must depend on. It must be in his power. That's why he said in John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. That's the devil. He says, I'm going to cast him out. He has the power to cast him out. He has the power to put him in the bottomless pit. He has the power later on to put him in a lake of fire forever and ever. That's our Savior. And that's in whose power we stand, not in ours, but in his. Now, I want to show you, and then we're going to go back to something because we want to make sure we do not misunderstand when I say this. The battle is not ours, it's God's. It's God's battle. Now, let's go over to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter of Hebrews. Second chapter of Hebrews, verse 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now listen. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Who brought many sons unto glory? Who brought you into salvation? Jesus Christ, look what he says, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Who is the captain of our salvation? Who's the captain of our army? He's one who cannot be defeated. It is impossible for him to be defeated. He's the captain of our salvation. He brought many sons to glory. If you're saved here tonight, he brought you to glory. And he will finish the work. It's impossible for you to be lost. One of these days he's going to present you in heaven to before the Father in heaven as his child forever and ever and ever, and you cannot be lost. Impossible. As his bride. Amen. So I'm saying to you again, who do we depend on? Yes, the battle's not ours. It's his battle. Look at Hebrews, 12th chapter, please, of Hebrews. Verse 1 and verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you notice there, he tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. But what does he tell us at the end of verse number 1? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We are not to just simply say, all right, you know, God, here, it's your battle. I'm just going to go over and have a seat and sit down. We're to run the race. But it's in his power that we run it. It's so important you get the balance of that thing. Over in the book of Kings, he told Jehoshaphat there. He said the battle is not yours, but it's God's. But at the same time, he turned right around and said, now, Jehoshaphat, go down against them. Go down against them. Go out against them, he said. Jehoshaphat, even though the battle was not his, was still to go out against them. And that's what God is trying to get us to do, is get to see the balance. No, we can't do it in our own strength. It's an impossibility for us to do that. I mean, it's impossible for us to face Satan and fight all these battles in our own strength. It's impossibility. But we are to go out and fight them and let God's strength win the victory. And I say to you, that's one of those places where many Christians get to. They say, oh, well, and I've even heard him say, I'm just going to forget it. I'm just going to say, okay, God, you take care of that. That's not the way God said to handle it. Yes, we let God take care of it, all right, but we do those things we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to fight the battles, and we do it in his strength and his power. And many Christians will come to that place and say, oh, well, I turned it over to God, but he didn't take care of it for me. And they get bitter, and they get out of church and get away from God. They're just falling right into Satan's hands. Absolutely fallen into Satan's hands, you see. Because the whole thing about it is God expects you to go out against them. God expects you to go and walk the Christian life in the power of God, in God's strength, in God's power, you see. We must understand, yes, that it is his work, it is his battle. And let me say to you, his honor is at stake if anything happens to us. Folks, you can't be lost. We're a child of God. His honor would be at stake if he let anybody be lost. Because he's promised that no man shall pluck us out of the hand of God. He cannot let you be lost if you're a child of God. It's an impossibility for you to be lost if you're a child of God. His honor is at stake. He's promised you eternal life. He's promised me eternal life, you see. Let me show you some scripture. Over in the book of John, 10th chapter. Verse 27. Listen to what he says. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Now, I want to say something to you. There's a lot of Christianity today that wants to skip over that verse of scripture. He says, my sheep. That means you've been born again. You're God's sheep. You're his lambs. You're his. But here's what he says. And I know them. In other words, he knows who you are. He knows all about you. He knows you as a child of God. You're his. And listen to what he says. Also, he says, and they follow me. That is mainly wanting to be skipped over today. But God says, his sheep follow him. And then he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's an impossibility, God says. My honor would be at stake. I have saved you. You're in my hand, and there isn't anybody powerful enough to take you out. It's a promise of God. Now look with me over to the book of Romans, please. 8th chapter. Eighth chapter of the book of Romans, we'll only read two verses, the last two verses of the eighth chapter, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, Paul said he was persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, I'm persuaded that there is absolutely nothing that is able to separate me from the love of Christ, the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an impossibility. It is God's battle. He will fight it. You must, though, be the one that goes forth to the battle and fighting in His power. You cannot win it in your own fleshly power. It's an impossibility. You must walk in God's power. That's why He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? So you'll be able to stand. Amen. Now, who does the fighting? Folks, listen to me. It's a dangerous thing to just sit back in your Christian life and say, I'm just going to turn this over to the Lord and whatever happens, happens. I want to guarantee you, multitudes of Christians today are sitting there defeated people because they've done that. Completely defeated. They do not understand the principle that we're teaching here tonight. That God expects you and I, as He says in the book of James, the 4th chapter, He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does He tell you and I to do? Resist the devil. Yes, it's God's power that you do the resisting in, but you must resist Him in the power of God. It's up to you to stand up and to resist Him in faith in Jesus Christ. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 12th verse, He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Is He telling us there that we ought to work for our salvation? Anybody knows the Bible knows better than that. It's not what He's saying to us. We're not to work for our salvation. But He does say, work out your own salvation. I want to say something to every person in this room. If you're saved here today, you're going to work out your own salvation. You're going to work out your relationship with God. In other words, it's going to have to work out in your life. That doesn't mean you work for your salvation, but every person is fighting personal battles and things that they have to go through. You're having to work that out in your Christian life, every one of you. That's like married couples. Married couples, every single one of us as married couples has to work out our relationship together. We do it according to the Word of God. That's why we're supposed to do it. We do it with principles of the Word of God. But every single one of us has to work out that relationship one with another. And you have to work out your relationship with Jesus Christ and how He deals with you and works with you and all of those wonderful things. You have to do that, but you have to do it according to the principles of the Bible, the Word of God. You see, you stand in His power. In His wonderful, mighty power. You must be strong in the Lord. You must put on the armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against these wiles. I want to show you over in the book of Timothy, show you what I'm talking about. Book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Second chapter, verse number 1. I want you to listen to the instructions that in the book of Timothy that Paul gives Timothy. He says in verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's giving him personal instruction and he's telling him to be strong. But he's telling him to do it in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now listen to what he says. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, endure hardness. You know, many people are stopped in their tracks by the very small, minute things in the Christian life. Absolutely just floors them. Just stopped. But God says, endure hardness. Christian life was never a thing of ease. The Christian life is a battle. It's a warfare. And we should not be stopped with those little things of life. In fact, we should not be stopped with the big things of life. He says we ought to endure hardness. And then he tells us in verse 4, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Did God choose you to be a soldier? Did he choose you to be a child of God, to fight in the army, to battle in the Christian life? Sure he did. And God expects you and I to do that. Now look in chapter 2, verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and every one that nameth the name of Christ, what does He say to do? Depart from iniquity. Is He telling you and I, just don't worry about it, I'll take the iniquity away from you? Is that what He says?
He says, depart from it. Face it and depart from it. He says, but in a great house there are not many, only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore, what? Purge himself. From these he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. And he says in verse 22, what? Flee also youthful lust. Is he telling us as Christians that we do not have to do anything? He says there's youthful lust out there. Flee, run from them. Amen. He says also in verse number 21, he says, meet for the master. Therefore, purge himself from these, he says. Purge yourself from these. How do you do that? In God's power, in God's strength, with the armor of God on. You can't do it by yourself, but you do it in his power. But we are to do it. We're to flee from iniquity. Now, in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse number 5 through 7, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Listen to what Paul said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul was saying, you know, I didn't have to fight. I didn't have to do anything. No, he didn't. He said, I fought a good fight. The Christian life is a battle, folks. When you realize that and you understand your weakness and you understand the power of your enemy, and then you understand the wonderful truth is the power of your great God, you'll be able to stand. You'll be able to fight that fight. I'm going to take just a few more minutes over in 1 Corinthians, please, the 9th chapter. First Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24, says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may attain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertain, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I don't find someone here who's sitting back and just letting God do whatever he wants to do, and he's just sitting and waiting. No, he's fighting in the power of God. If you notice there, he talks about, he said in verse number 25, every man that striveth for the mastery. In verse 26, I therefore so run. Not as certain, so fight I. It's like a boxer he's talking about. Not as one that beateth the air. In other words, I'm not just out here beating the air, hitting a dummy bag or something. He said, I am beating actually my own body and keeping it under subjection. It's a fight. It's a battle. And we have to understand the enemy. We have to understand our weakness. And we have to understand the great power of God Almighty. Look over in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. Verse 13, one verse, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. The word quit speaks basically of the word act. Act ye like men, be strong. Once again, God is telling us to be strong. Look over in the book of Philippians, please. Philippians, the third chapter, verse number 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself too apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a battle. It is a race. It is a fight. That's what the Christian life is. Let me say something to you. There are absolutely no shortcuts in the spiritual life. People have been trying to find shortcuts, and when they do, they get off track, they get away from God, they get backslidden, and they become miserable Christians. There is no shortcuts. You're in a battle, I'm in a battle, and God tells us to fight that battle. Quit letting all those little things just throw you and beset you. Lay them aside and go on with God and walk with God and serve God and love God, and quit letting these little things just stop you dead in your tracks. Don't be quick. Just keep on going for the Lord. You know why? You say, oh, Brother Ross, but you don't know all the things that I face. Well, I want to tell you, you want to read the life of Apostle Paul? You read his life, and you go through the same things that Paul went through, and then you come and tell me about it. Because here's what he did. He got down to that place where he had a thorn in the flesh, I mean, it was a thorn in the flesh. And he began to ask God, and he asked God three times to take it away, and God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And let me say to you, God's grace is sufficient for you and me. If he lets us go through some of these things and hardships of life, his grace is sufficient. Amen. So why are we whining and griping and complaining about all these things that's coming our way? The grace of God is sufficient for us to go on for God. You're in a battle, folks. We could go on, we could go on, we could show you all kinds of scriptures, but I want you to know some. God is able to do anything that needs to be done. Apostle Paul, if he in Philippians, the 4th chapter, 13th verse, if he had stopped that I can do all things, if he had stopped right there, he'd have been a braggart. He'd have been saying, I can do all things. I can do anything. There's nothing can stop me. But he did not stop there. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You understand what Paul was saying? Yes, I can do all things. Can you? Yes, you can. If you let Christ strengthen you. Can I? Yes, I can, if I let Christ strengthen me. Yes, you can do it. You can face it. It's a battle. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your mercy, your wonderful love for us, your kindness and your goodness, and for the warnings of thy word. Thank you, Lord, how you warn us and prepare us and get us ready. And Lord, those things that come and beseech us from day to day, Lord, you've given us the strength and the power to stand against those things and resist the devil, because we're doing it in the power of the Lord, your wonderful power, your wonderful might. And Lord, we certainly do need then the armor of God. And so we thank you for it and ask you to help us. In Jesus' name, amen.